This is a continuing episode of a series about the Netflix production of Three Body Problem. There will be medium-level spoilers. So if that's something that bothers you, move on and find a different episode of Sci-Fi Thoughts, like maybe Foundation series. So back to Yo and Jazz organization. Do they have a name?
Not in the Netflix show. They're just like the organization. But in the books, they're called ETO.
Oh, okay.
And which is Earth Trisolaris Organization.
Okay.
And I think they didn't want to name it because they changed the name of Trisolaris, so they didn't want to make it ESO or something. I'm not sure. They just never mentioned what it's called.
So there's an enforcer who runs around sometimes killing scientists who won't do the duty of committing suicide. And her name's Tatiana, and she's an incredible, like, as an actress, her face is like blue.
She has crazy eyes.
Yeah, that's
like
crazy
eyes. She looks like a psychopath. It's the best.
Right.
She carries all of those scenes she's in.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Mark, what did you think about the reference to the aliens as calling them the Lord?
It's like a religion almost, right?
So it was so religious. I felt like I was getting slapped in the face. I thought, the aliens know that there's a group of people on Earth who love Christianity. And so they're having them be referred to as the Lord. And I was like, holy cow. And the fellow in the boat, I forgot his name, but
Mike Evans.
Husband. Yeah. He was so different than when he was young. Like I saw him as a secularist when he was young, like a scientific, but eco, I'm not sure if he was a science, but he's at least an eco, activist, eco activist.
Yeah.
To see him act like a high priest to this is like, wow, something's really changed this dude over time.
Which is funny. The actor had the same role in Game of Thrones, like the exact same character. But he's interesting. I guess 40 years in the cult will do that too.
That's true. Yep. So, yeah. So I felt like the Trisolarans were manipulating people a little bit more powerfully by using those cultural memes against them. Using Christianity as a manipulation tool is a little less popular in London. So that's why this is a worldwide organization. So it doesn't matter whether they're from London or not. They could recruit them from wherever.
Yeah. Speaking of worldwide. So, we'll get this out of the way, but in the books, basically everything takes place in China, right? The sending the signal and all the people that solve everything, like a group of heroes who are from Oxford. In the books, they're all from China. So in the books, China starts the problem, but they also solve the problem, right? But there's a big controversy in China about the Netflix version, which is basically China starts the problem and the rest of the world has to clean up their problem, right? And while it makes more sense that the story is worldwide because it's about an alien invasion, what do you think about maybe some cultural tone deafness on Netflix about doing that? I guess Netflix isn't available in China, so they don't care.
Well, I mean, why? It's a business. And
it's a business.
By the way, they paid a lot of money for this. It's roughly, when I say paid, I don't mean for the rights. I'm saying like the show cost was $20 million an episode. So it's their most expensive venture. So if you're going to spend a lot of money, you want it to land and be profitable. So worrying about not your target market to make them happy doesn't seem like a smart thing to do. So
I guess especially they have their own show. You know, it was never going to be popular, I guess, in China, even if it was catered to them, because they have their own version, right?
Right.
So you don't need to compete with that.
Well, you know, it's going to be in English, And I guess it could, yeah. So anyways, speculatively, Netflix doesn't, you can't get Netflix in China. Of course, you can VPN and watch it, which is what I did when I lived there. Thank you, Netflix. Please don't come after me. But, you know, I was a paying customer, though. Anyways, it was the right move because it doesn't make any sense at all to have a bust on your TV series just to be purist.
Yeah, that's true.
Be a, how do I say that? It would be a bad strategy. That's pretty much it. So I'm totally good with that. And I look forward to reading the books, which will actually probably be fun to read, where when I was reading The Expanse after watching the TV series, and you know, it's pretty much watching the movie got me what I needed. I didn't find the books added much to what was already done in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a lot of interest, but this sounds like this will be interesting, I think, to read.
Yeah.
And folks, you probably, there's another risky thing is that apparently the books are really slow, but the Netflix version is more like a sci-fi thriller because there's less, the frame, I thought this was a really nice frame by one of the reviews I read, is that the Netflix thriller relies more upon the how. We know there's a problem, but how are we going to overcome, where the books rely on the why. Oh, there's a problem? What? Oh, why is there a problem? And so there's a few steps back. You have to do why is the problem and then figure out how to overcome it. Where here they focus on exploring how these people are going to survive this situation.
Yeah. It's a different approach. You know, if I wanted a perfectly accurate version, I could just read the books or something, right? Like, exactly. I want to see it done differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, Mark, you're not even reading the books. You're reading the translation of the book, which is actually considered a dramatic reimagining of the characters of the book. So it's a better version, is what most people say.
Yeah. At least they reordered some stuff that wasn't allowed in China. And, yeah.
It's the 22nd century, and although there's no faster-than-light drive, governments and religious organizations fund voyages by giant ships that spend multiple generations in voyage to Earth-like exoplanets. Young Arcady feels blessed to be born aboard the ship when he did, because the ship will soon reach its destination, and it will happen during his lifetime. But he's heartbroken that instead of being trained as a pilot, he is stuck training to be a farmer, because those skills are more important for creating their civilization and completing the abandonment of Earth and the troubles they left behind. But once their ship makes planetfall, the strife left behind a millennia ago resurfaces, starting with the murder of his sister. After the mysterious disappearance of other generation ships, Arcady, now an officer of the Space Force, suspects that someone close to him is killing his people. This murder investigation space opera is a novelette by Lancer Kind, and it's called Memories Victims. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's Nook. The series started at episode 273, so if you're like my friend Bob and you missed the first episode, go back to scifithoughts.space and you can enter in the episode number or description, and it will find those episodes for you. We've got the goodies, and they're in the show notes. So if you're using a podcast player, they show up right there in the user interface for easy peasy access. But hey, if you didn't use a podcast player and you downloaded the MP3 from a website, go back to the website and you will see on that page the show notes. And there you will see links to the three-body problem, some more information about Kenio, and anything else that we could drum together, like some science background on the three-body problem, and whatever the other thing we dreamed up. Next episode, Mark and I continue discussing Netflix's three body problem.
So we kind of got through episode two so far. In episode three, we learn a lot about the three body problem, how it works. And we get to one of my favorite scenes in the whole first book, which is the human, they call it human abacus, but it's basically a human computer. We learn that the Trisolarans had built a computer before they had even invented electricity. They're all on the ship, and there's this hard drive that we want to have because that's all the communications with Santi.
Right.
And they can't risk destroying it, and they can't risk ETO members realizing what's happening and destroying it. So they come up with all these plans. What about gas? Takes too slow. What about explode? Like just bombing it? It could destroy the hard drive. They finally settle on one of the main characters, Augie, has invented this very thin wire that can cut through anything because it's so thin. And their plan is, as the ship's passing through the Panama Canal, they'll just set up some of this wire, and the ship's momentum will just slice it all into pieces. But it basically explains what a sophon is. And do you want to explain a sophon to everyone?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I want to explain it by solving a mystery. So remember, people are dying. Am I going to get censored here, Mark? Can I talk about why the people are dying?
Oh, no, it's fine. We already said we're doing Netflix spoilers.
Okay, so the people are dying. Remember, the scientists are dying, and Mark and I were saying it's kind of like a murder. It's a murder thriller. Well, this reveals why they're dying and why their physics got broken. Is they used the Santi have a trans-dimensional computer AI some kind of system that's got a lot of compute, so it should be intelligent as well. But they don't go into that, so it's probably not that. It's not probably general intelligence. It's just a good, really good tool. But anyways, it's transdimensional. It can visit Earth, and because it's transdimensional, it can change. It can really screw things up and cause science to not work right. Yeah, because a three-dimensional being can cross into a two-dimensional space very simply. Mm-hmm. So a multi-dimensional being, more than three-dimensional, can go through any part of the world that it cares to.
Yeah,